What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Pillow Talk with Paul Gonneau. Today, my guest is chef and avid collector, Jason Castillo.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jason Castillo. I am a chef and avid collector of, like, video games, some comics, and media of that sort.
The craziest, like... I'm insanely jealous of your collection. And I have, like, a bit of stuff myself.
I'm impressed, actually, just because I see a couple titles that I don't have it on.
I just
didn't see it on my collecting journey.
That makes me
feel
good. You know? I feel like that, as a collector, those are the kind of things you go for when another collector sees your shit and is like, oh, you have that?
Yeah.
Those are, like, the best moments, so
oh,
thank 100%.
You. 100%. It's those bragging rights you want. You get... Why do you have shelves or wall space if not to just put memorabilia and stuff to make your collection look better than the next?
Yeah, I love stuff on the walls, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I just moved. Like, this is the first episode probably in, I don't know, around 2 months or just over 2 months, but close to 2 months. Mm-hmm. And still everything isn't, like, set up, but I feel like... Even when the furniture was in place, like, it didn't really feel like home until I started hanging stuff off the walls, like paintings and, like, collectibles, mm-hmm. DVDs, whatever the case, you know? Yeah. I think you gotta use up that wall space.
Yeah, you got it. We got a bunch of stuff new on our wall as well. Rachel had these old, like, the Canadian, like, seven artists or however many of those artists. They got a lot of... nature paintings and stuff, and she's got them all now in a collage over our staircases, because it's like, you don't use the staircase wall space so much unless you hang like one or two pictures. She's got like 20 different small painting pictures in a collage. It looks really
is nice. She like real OCD, because I feel like thing that I would fear about doing something like that is like everything to me has to be like perfect, like on the wall.
Yeah.
And so, like, are like, all the frames connected, and it makes, like, one frame on, like, a slant, or does she have, like, individual ones that she's spaced out and put on the wall?
It's like a... It's actually really cool.
I probably have seen it, but I don't remember what
it was. I don't think you have. She's just done this the last couple days.
Oh, shit.
And she's actually grouped them where it's the colors melding into the next color, so it goes from, like, autumn reds and yellows to greens... to cool blues and into whites. And they're not like particularly evenly spaced, but they got a nice margin in between them, and they go up like little square, little square, little square, little square, and kind of just looks like a splash. And the OCD thing is funny also, because the first stairwell that she did, absolutely perfect. It's like everything's lined up really, really nice. The second stairwell, the color scheme is all really good. And then you can notice just near the end of the stairwell, there's like everything's a little bit off on the angle. She's like, if I have to fix that, that's pulling down like 15 different pictures. This is a future problem. Not right now. It's on the wall, whatever. But it'll definitely bother you when you know it's there. You know, that picture's not straight.
I'll mention it.
Yeah, you mentioned it. You're a day, but I've seen that. It's not straight.
Yeah, like those two Linkin Park Funkos on the wall there, they took me like, I don't know, 3 hours to hang.
Yeah.
Because I wanted them spaced like perfectly over what's underneath them, you know? Like, and just I'm going to hang a shelf with all the rest of my Funkos that are actually out of the case. Because usually I take them out.
Yeah.
Those ones, I can't do it.
It's tough to make that decision whether you're gonna take a toy and or displayable figure out of the box or keep it in the box and display the whole thing. And I have a mix of both, because it's knowing that some of them have a use. Nintendo's a great example of that, because I have a lot of their amiibos. And you say, okay, I want to take advantage of the advantages that those give me within a game, like Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. You can put a couple of them, and they'll give you some items, some apples, some swords to use. But if they're in a package, they're made in such a way where you can't use them. The near frequency sensor can't pick up the amiibo through the packaging. So you'd have to take it out. So I've got like a maybe 8 or 9 amiibo that are out of package, and I can't even remember how many, like another 7 or something that are still in package.
Gotcha.
I got, like, what am I, my Sonic's still in package. I think my, I have a couple of Fire Emblem ones that are still in package. Because I didn't need the positives of having those out of package. But I could. I don't know. It's just, you're weighing the pros and cons of it.
Yeah.
But something like,
and I get it. I'm just, like, I started taking them out, man, and then they, like, they blew up. Like, when I first started collecting them, they definitely weren't as huge as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like kind of how you can just, like, store them with when they're in the box. Yeah. But, like, I also think, like, you're kind of missing a little bit of it. Like, I feel like the Linkin Park ones, the box is actually part of, like, the back.
Yeah.
Is, like, you know, part of the actual thing. So why would you take it out of the box just to lose part of the art?
Yeah, 100%. So, like, the way they've built those boxes in particular, like, and they've done with a couple other the franchises, but it looks beautiful.
Mm.
It absolutely looks beautiful. It's all part of the art and the display. You get some figures that are just in, like, a completely sealed cardboard box, and, like, your only option is to take it right out. But I'll keep those boxes anyway and display the boxes separate from the figure.
Yeah.
We picked up a couple figures from a series called Monster Hunter, and I love it. They got really cool, like, I say monsters, a lot of them look like dinosaur-like, but they have really cool armor and swords and stuff, and I'm like, these are too cool to keep in the package. Take them out of the package, they're in a little display case, but I have their boxes displayed in our library on, like, the top shelves. Because the boxes still look cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just don't, when you're a collector, just don't throw anything away. You're just going to squirrel away boxes for stuff you're displaying. You think, okay, that's just practical for moving, but it's like, no, I'm not going to put a closet or anything. I'm going to just put it on display. And that's just what you do. Do you have any collectibles that you're looking to increase in your library, like video game wise or Funko Pop wise?
Man, I definitely want more Funkos, and the idea is to get, like, a second shelf. And, like, for sure, really the only thing I'm missing from my collection that I really want is a Super Nintendo.
Ah.
And I wouldn't want, I don't want the mini Super Nintendo. I'd want, like, a real Super Nintendo. But other than that, I mean, there's obviously games I want for the things that I have. Like, there's a shitload of N64 games that I still want. But in due time, about to have a baby, I feel like I can't justify spending a bunch of money on that right now, but I did just, I don't know, I bought, like, I got new Xbox for Christmas, so, what is it, Xbox Series X, and, so I got a couple games for that, but, yeah, I don't know, man, there's always things I want. Like, I'm a very, my lady says I'm a very easy person to, like, buy presents for, because, I don't know, I like collecting.
Yeah, the more hobbies you have, the easier it becomes.
I feel like, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people you get on, onto their Christmas list, and you're like, they want a phone. Like, well, how am I going to accommodate this person? People are hard to buy for these days if they don't have, like, a lot of hobbies.
Yeah.
Between Rachel and I, I'm like, what do we want for Christmas? What are we getting ourselves? Let's do adult purchases for a house, and we'll buy a fridge.
You guys, like, so wait, like, you guys still got presents for each other after going on your crazy Japan trip?
No, it's more like, nowadays it's, what do we feel we want that is either going to increase, our ability to be lazy.
Okay.
And, or, like, just guiltier things that we want. So, while we were there, I can say that she did a lot of clothes shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an opportunity you only have when you're in another country. You're able to see all the different styles. So it's like, just go.
Yeah.
Just buy whatever, I'll carry it. But mostly I made her carry it. But you say, there's no limit. Go and get those things. That's the Christmas gift for ourselves. Our money's in the same pool. So
yeah, yeah.
It's more like, this is what we authorize ourselves to do. Otherwise, we'd feel bad. We're like, I'm purchasing too much for myself right now. But there are times where we say, the limit's off. Go ahead. That's why I was able to buy my kitchen knives. And I just said, I know what my limit's going to be. But she's like, just buy whatever you want. We're looking at knives. And I'm like, that one's like $700.
Oh,
it's got like a samurai etched into the side of it. And she's like, do you want it? I'm like, God, no. I don't need something like that. Absolutely not.
It's a lot of money.
Let me look at a couple of things that are practical that make sense. And even if they're a lot of money, I'm going to just make sure that I use them. Because you get some people with really nice knives, and they won't end up using them. It's like a $400+ knife, and it's collecting dust.
Yeah.
When I was talking with a lot of the guys over there, they're like, what do you want? You want the carbon steel or you want the stainless steel? I'm like, give me the stainless steel, because I'll beat the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's broken in a couple of years, I'll be like, well, I use the hell out of it. Now I'll go buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can only really get to that mentality with a kitchen tool or any tool is if you've been in some sort of trade where you realize just tools make your life easy and you have to abuse them until they're not usable anymore. Being a mechanic at one point / chapter of my life, you get a toolbox full of stuff. I have a Snap-on 3/4 swivel locking like wrench. It's like a Cadillac.
Mm.
It's just the best. But I used it in every single job that ever came in, and dropped it, threw it in the oil pit sometimes. It fell off the hoist arms, it hit me in the head.
Yeah.
Like it saw all the action. And you could go to a Canadian Tire or a Sears or something, grab the equivalent for like $20. I paid $130 for that thing. Like many years ago, so the same thing would be probably around $180 or $200 at this point. But you just get comfortable swinging around something at that cost when you're in a trade. So I look at it the same way that I look at the knives. I say, let's freaking use them. Did you ever like grab yourself a tool in your longer career than mine in cooking that you prefer to use? You don't even mind beating up because you know it's just the optimal thing to use?
I have never been, I think maybe, like, the most expensive knife I have is, like, $100, mm-hmm. maybe. But I have a couple knives that I like to use at home, and they're really, like, the only ones I use.
Mm.
But like honestly, man, I'm trying to think. Like one of my favorite knives that I have is actually this, like, I got it for like $3, and I went into this like Asian like market mm-hmm. to grab something else.
Yeah.
And I was standing in line, and it was like one of the knives, just mm-hmm. like sit, you know, grab me before you leave, kind of thing, you know. And I did, and it's still sharp. I got it for $3, and like, I don't know what to say, man. I've had it for like 7-8 years, maybe even longer now. And yeah, it still does me right. I don't really have anything in particular that I like using, I think, other than, and my knives aren't special. Like most of like my, like I have a Nella and like quite a few Mercers that I got through culinary school, but like I don't have anything like super crazy. So no, I don't know.
Well,
I just like.
I could broaden that question further, because I would say even among, say, like, recording equipment or when you're doing comedy, what tools, say, are on site that you think make the job go smoother? Because, say, which is why I brought up, like, my thing from being a mechanic, you have just somewhere along your life you found a shortcut through a tool. I feel like, or like a convenience that you kind of thought up yourself.
Shoot. Maybe I'm just not, I don't have that. I don't know.
Like, say there's these cheats that you can sometimes use. Say, at least working on cars is using scraps of, like,
yeah.
a save bunch of that stuff. Way. It, like, there are these good, probably the best example is when I was taking off a wheel of a car, and a lot of mechanics, you'll have to use, like, a little, they got that gun and goes, zoop, 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 zoop. Sure, I have that tool. Sometimes not the best thing to get the job accomplished, because it beats the crap out of those little nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And what I used was just a heavy wrench, that is a nice little ratchet thing, crappy, like $10. Mm-hmm. It's $10, but it was robust. And a tube from a vacuum cleaner. The thing you would just, is this a metal tube that will extend that, just let you get into the corners.
Mm.
And I would put that on the end of that and make a huge lever, and I would break wheel nuts free using that. Especially when someone had a locking key for some of their wheels. Mm-hmm. They got the fancy cars with the aluminum wheels and they have the locking key and they lose the key all the time. But you use that because you don't want to impact those things. They break and people will... I'm not going to rant about that. I'm leading myself into a rant.
Go ahead. I'm
like... For like 15 years ago in my life, it's just you have people don't know whether or not they have a lock and key on their vehicle. Two, if they think they do, they don't know where that key ended up. It's usually in the glove box because they wouldn't know where else to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes with the car. Then. If they've completely lost it, we have to go down like such a terrible road of removing the keys from each wheel. It's and there's delicate ways to do it and less delicate ways to do it, and you don't always get to choose the delicate way, and things get more damaged than anyone particularly wants. And I'd like to say that everyone's got a bit of fault there, but it always falls on the mechanic that it's all their fault for the end result.
Mm.
Scratched rims, broken wheel studs, but I will put the onus on the owner that if you can just provide us with a bit of information as to where things are located, like where's the key, do you have one at all, we can just move on with the job. Get to the end of the story. But if they don't know anything, if they don't know that piece, what else do they not know about the car? And I realize there's 99% of consumers, maybe it's less, don't know anything about their car that they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. It is fine.
That will be me.
You don't know anything about your car. And I, as a person who's worked on cars for a portion of my life, I have the burden of knowledge.
Yeah.
I call it the burden of knowledge, and I'm like, I can't...
That happens.
I can't have anyone else but my Jedi Master to touch any of my cars. Because I'm like, everyone else will fuck it up.
I've heard of this burden of knowledge.
It's a burden of knowledge.
I know of what you speak of, but am too dumb to have experienced it firsthand.
Ah, Jesus. I feel like I've lived multiple lives.
So why'd you get into cooking then? What made you make the switch?
I I guess there's more than likely a long and short version of this. So I was a mechanic for a while, apprenticed a bit, ran a small shop for a bit, a very short bit. All sobering me up, I would say, realizing that it wasn't entirely what I wanted to do. Or not so much that it wasn't what I wanted to do. It's like I got into it for the wrong reason. But then I was already in it. And I had all this experience. I had luckily had two... I argue with myself I had more mentors than just the two that I'm probably mentioning. But I call him like my father. His name was Colin, and Roddy being the guy who taught me my mechanical skills. Colin taught me everything I know about, like searching up parts for cars, using like computers well, using your knowledge well, speaking to people, like, because I was a pretty introverted guy, and yeah. he kind of allowed, like, talking with him allowed me to kind of get out of my own shell a little bit, because I was just kind of like a thorough extent, I'm still like a basement dwelling kind of individual.
Yeah.
So, but I can like communicate with people pretty well now, I think. And with Roddy, he taught me like everything I needed to know about cars. He got me through my entire apprenticeship and taught me a systematic way of thinking through problems that I would say drastically impacted the way I live my life. So I wouldn't be the person I am without those two. The way they were able to kind of shape my mind out of the immature person I was into like, it was probably commented by more than one person in my life at that point in time that I ended up making decisions and doing things that were beyond my expected maturity level. Like, I got onto like health and safety boards and trying to like keep people safe in a workplace and get my license as a mechanic kind of like all at the same time while I ended up running a shop. And people are like, that sounds like you're, you know, already in your 30s, like doing that kind of work.
Mm.
I was like 19. And the thing that got me all sobered up after like doing all of that, that I didn't want to kind of be at that station, being a person who's running a shop where I had two fully grown, like, I think one guy was like in his 40s and the other guy was in his mid-50s, like employees working under me. At like 21, like, it felt fucking wrong.
Mm.
And I had three apprentices working with me there, and I just tried to train them any way I could, like try and get some of the things my mentors taught to me and try and teach them, and like they weren't, I don't want to say they weren't receptive, but like it didn't stick. Like, some people just are built differently and learn differently. And at that point in my life, I didn't really realize that. I thought everyone could think and, or not think, but like, they can think, but they think the same way that I do. I didn't realize that people just don't. People think differently. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
People have different brains than the next person. So like, the thing that like just flipped the switch at that point was that, I'm not going to say his name or anything, but one of those apprentices I was training quite closely with, because his skill was lesser than the others. And he kind of had a thing where he just couldn't tighten a bolt on a car. And most importantly, the ones that hold the tires on the car. So, it was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really bad.
It's dangerous.
Because it's dangerous.
It's a little dangerous.
And, and this is what I'm getting to, is that this person is trying their best, but not performing well. They would drive the car out, and the wheel would fall off before they get out of the bay door. And I'm just holding my head, and I'm like, I just showed him how to do that properly.
Mm-hmm.
How is this person not able to do that after I just showed them how? I had a method of teaching, that I had a bunch of apprentices that I had to talk with, or co-op students, is just to make sure that they were listening and they got it, was I would teach them how to do it, like verbally, show them how to do it, and then I say, all right, take it all apart. And I said, all right, you teach me. Give me as much detail as you can. I don't know how to do this job. And my hope is that they're listening enough, paying attention enough, that they can get at least throw back like 60% of the information I threw at them. Or get most of the job correct. Because it at least on the spot challenge their mind to retain what I'm telling them. And you know what? People's brains don't work the same.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It doesn't work for a lot of people to be taught that way. But that was the way I thought was going to be the most effective, and it's not.
Okay.
Shout out to teachers. They got to figure out how people's brains work and how they can pass information to people. It's not freaking easy.
No, definitely. I wouldn't want that.
So this kid had that problem. He had that problem. And then one day, a very disgruntled gentleman, and rightfully so, came in and asked for the manager. I'm working the front desk.
Mm.
And I'm like, I'm the manager. I'm the manager of the shop. And it's like, no, get an adult. You're a child. Go get me an adult who's running the auto shop. I said, that's me, sir. That's me. I run the
Hello.
Shop. Hello. So, what can I do for you? Throws a bill at me from a tow truck and another car dealer that's not in our area. And he says, he also throws the bill from us. And says, I was taking my family to their cottage, and as I'm driving down the road, my wheel falls off. It shook so much, I was able to get to the side of the road,
mm-hmm.
and when the tow truck came to put me up on the hook, the wheel fell off. You guys just did my wheels. Look at the invoice. I see who worked on it.
It was that guy.
It was that guy.
Yeah.
And this wasn't the first time, but what do I do as the manager on staff to make it right? I think I got to make this guy whole on that money.
Mm-hmm.
I do make whatever accommodation I can to him. I think that's the right thing to do. If this happened in your case, I think that'd be the very least thing I could do.
Oh, yeah. It could have been so much worse.
It could have been so much worse.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, are you fine? How is your family?
Yeah, yeah.
Thankfully, everyone's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have been much worse. And then this realization comes over you that, oh, my goodness. It's so simple that you're a mechanic just slamming tires, doing oil changes, doing a starter, an alternator, whatever. I did drivability a lot with Roddy for just making things run smoother and stuff. But when it comes right down to it, if we let these cars go and they're not safe, that can impact lives. That could kill someone.
Yeah.
That could thoroughly inconvenience someone for an unknown amount of time. Drastically. So I was like, oh my God. So I did what I had to do to get him at least calm. Got him his money. He's happy enough with that. And he was gone. But now the situation came down that I have to deal with this apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of that business came to me and said, I can't have this guy here anymore. Obviously.
Right.
With these kinds of things occurring, can't have the kid there. That's a logical thing to do. Yeah. I've done what I can to train this person, and it's just not sticking. And it comes about that we fire him. It's heart-wrenching to see the guy go, because I work close with him. I want him to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't. But a couple of days later, I don't want to say a couple of days, it was pretty much the next day, and again, this is the flip of the switch, if it wasn't already, that a very upset man comes in the next day as another upset individual. And he's like, again, I want to speak to the manager. It's like, that's me. It's like, you get me the adult. It's like, it's me, man. And he starts just ripping into me because his son has been fired. And then the kid is coming in. The kid's crying.
The kid that was... Okay.
The kid we fired is crying.
Yeah.
He says, Dad, you're embarrassing me. Let's get out of here. He's like, no, this multiple stream of insults to my face.
Yeah.
Take your pick. Whatever insult you want, he threw it at me. You don't know what you're doing. What is a kid running a shop?
Gotta love you working customer doing. Service. You know?
Because I work customers for so long. It's fine. I have a great poker face for this situation. Happens. Like, it's fine. Mm. I can take it. But And especially because I like this kid. I didn't want for this to happen. But it's happening. And now the kid's embarrassed. What am I going to do? Say right in that moment, you know, man, your kid almost killed people.
Yeah.
You want me to just throw it back? I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to let this guy say his piece. He's going to feel better that he defended his son. He doesn't need to know the truth. So I didn't give him the truth.
Oh, man.
I let him rip into me for like
it's so
20 minutes.
It's so un Jason of you.
It's very... I was a different person. And I said, I just let him rip into me, and then the kid drags Dad out while he's crying. He's like, you're just embarrassing me.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to feel like I attacked him anymore. Yeah. Or made the situation worse. So I just let him go. And I said, you know, I think... And then it was at that moment, I said, you know what? People have like a whole life, like, which seems obvious, but you have, it seems obvious, but like you meet random people and you know next to nothing about them. You are meeting them just at that point in their life. I've been alive now for 30 and a half years, and I've got all this knowledge that I only know myself because I've lived that 30 some odd years. But you can look at the next person, or you can look at that kid who's lived those 17 some odd years. I'm like, I don't know how he got to that point. I don't know why he wasn't able to learn. I don't know why he wasn't why he couldn't have been better and not made those mistakes. I also don't know this man who's defending this person. I don't think I have a right to, like, mess or, like, judge them for why they're in this situation now. Mm. I'm just going to let them go. And then I'm like, oh, my goodness. That might be what I need to do in life in general, is that I don't want to be a part of them or, like, impact people's lives too much. I don't want to impact people's lives too much. So I feel like if you end up getting wherever you are as, like, a supervisor or a manager or something, a supervisor or a manager of people, you're impacting too many people's lives.
Oh, and then a mechanic on top of it.
Yeah, and a mechanic, like, on top of it. It's like, it's like, I don't want to do that.
That's anymore. A true burden of knowledge.
Yeah.
That, you know?
It's like, oh no, my actions could really impact someone else. And I wanted to kind of get out of that or come at it from a different angle to be more helpful and reduce the amount of harm I could possibly do.
Bro, do you ever, like, wonder how pilots can be pilots? Or, like, a surgeon? Or just,
oh my,
like,
God.
I'm an open-heart surgeon. I just, you know, this is what I do. And hold people's lives literally in my hands. Like, that's a lot of stress, bro. Like, I can barely... Like, I'm barely making it by as a comedian. Mm. I don't want to be in charge of, like, other people's lives, you know? Like,
could you ever fly a plane?
Like, bro, even like, if I could, I wouldn't want to do it with other, like 300 people in it. Like,
yeah.
Hell no.
You gotta give them, like...
How do they get by?
I don't understand. I'm on a plane, and it's the worst turbulence that I've ever experienced. Like, you can feel, like, it's... The wind is pushing us, like, 15 feet at a time in each direction.
Yeah.
And... I'm just resigned to death.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm dead.
I'd start praying if I was the pilot in the cockpit. I don't even believe in God, bro. I'd be on my knees like, Jesus.
I'm looking at Rachel. I'm like, we had a good run.
Yeah.
Like, we're dead.
Love you.
We're dead. We're dead. And
we
then
just sit there like this for an hour.
And then, and we're on the tarmac, and you're like, and I'm like, these people are gods.
Yes, that's what I'm saying,
like,
right?
They're just... Ugh. Just stone face, like, oh yeah, I've seen the same kind of thing last Tuesday, whatever. It's just mind boggling. Doctors, oh, let me just reach in your chest cavity and pull out, like, whatever. Put that on the metal tray. Fix that while I have this person open and I'm like just holding their heart in my hand or something. Stitch it back in. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy business to, like, be able to manipulate either technology or, like, the human body so that other people just don't die. It's like, what confidence? I don't have that. So
no,
I don't
know.
No,
I don't, it's not
situation.
Even, I don't have the confidence. Like, I feel like I wouldn't be able to handle the stress, bro. Mm-hmm. I would go insane. I would be like, oh my God. I smoke a lot of pot to deal with my stress right now, but, like, are there, Do they drug check pilots? Like,
they must.
I wonder. They
I
have
hope
to, right?
They do.
Like, every flight, they got to do a breathalyzer. There's got to be... Like, people like us wouldn't even make the cut, I don't think.
Oh, not a chance.
Like, even if we knew how to do it, they'd be like, yeah, no.
Oh, man.
We're good.
No, no way. Like, the... Just the... What you look at their instrument panel, like, I don't care if 90% of that is... all, like, autopilot, and it's figuring out all the calculations. If I have 10% of the total job that's got to happen to fly the plane, I'm like, I'm going to screw this up.
Yeah.
I don't think the...
Yeah, I barely got my oven on today, guys. I don't know what we're going to do with this.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So, what was that, like, the last incident where you're like, I'm out of, like, this field, and it made you kind of want to go to cooking, or...
So this is where I can cut it much shorter, because I think that was the most pivotal part, like, mentally for me to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. So I ended up just selling car parts for, like, a long time. So I said, you know what? I have all this knowledge. I'm going to leverage that to help other people make better decisions on stuff that they're buying, to demystify things. There's like, oh, you're buying brakes. There's like five different brake pads. What the hell's the difference? I made sure that I was knowledgeable enough to let people know it's not that hard to make those decisions. And let them get away with at least a decent deal. Some people don't know what to sell the person. It's ridiculous. So I did that for numerous years. Numerous years I did that. And then I got a little bored of car stuff. So I said, you know what? I'm going to try truck stuff. So I got into like the class 9, 10, 11, 12. I don't know how many classes it goes up. I can't remember. But huge 16-wheeler truck stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into that. And I did that for a good 6 years. But I got to a point where I'm like, I'm bored of this too. Now I have a holistic knowledge of the way a car or a truck works, the parts that go in it, how to do that, do repairs and stuff at an affordable manner. I need something else. Mm-hmm. I need something else. And it took me about 2 years to search between other trades and just completely other things. I was like computer programming, like a boiler maker. I went and checked with literally like a union that where you go into giant tanks and like weld repairs from the inside. I'm like, I think I would. I don't have claustrophobia, but I think I would develop it. And they end up sending you to like different parts of the country because it's like there's only so many tanks around. You gotta go to the tanks. So I'm like, I can't do a job that's gonna like travel. There was one that was a spring coiler like tiny springs or big springs. I didn't want to do that, so I'm like, okay, maybe
that doesn't sound like fun.
It's not that fun. But I'm like, I was kind of just leaning on my technical or then like rougher edge kind of trade skills. And then I'm like, okay, maybe that's not what I want to do. That's why I started looking at like computer stuff. I'm like, this is all new. I figured out I'm too stupid for that kind of thing. Not creative enough to get into that thing. So I'm like, still want to work with my hands. And I need something that's got like a huge amount of stuff to learn where I just couldn't tap it dry. It like was like a revelation. I said, you know what? I think I could be successful at this. That was the decision. It was like, I think I can be successful at this based on my skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went with it. Got a 1 year course. Had a really passionate chef as a teacher.
Where'd you go?
It was Ontario Culinary Arts School of Ontario. It's a redundant name. I can't remember. It was really bad. It was local, nice little small school. I went into class with about like 20 some odd people at the start of COVID. It was looming at the time in 2020, and then it hit like right within like the first semester, and my class of like 20 some odd people, it was like a lot of exchange students. And they're all from like different, Turkey, Cyprus, China. There was a person from Taiwan, and we're all there in a little group. But then COVID hit, and everyone's like, "We all got to go home."
I don't want to be near you guys.
So our class went down to like I think it was like 8 or 9 mm-hmm. people, and then it was down to probably like 6. And there was a second class that was starting a couple months later, and then their class got like cut in half because they all went home too.
Mm-hmm.
So then we ended up kind of being a mash of two different classes, and we're about 12 or so people. And we got to a couple of chapters that were just kind of blowing my mind about food, and I just got more and more into it.
Something to do with bread?
Bread. It was crazy. It was the greatest challenge out of everything. Sure, like cooking eggs, really hard. Baking, pretty hard. But like sauteing stuff was kind of easy. Making soups, kind of easy. Your cuts like, you do that enough with enough practice, hey, you get lots of cuts on your hands anyway. But yeah. Like, you get to a comfort level where you're like, okay, it's not that bad. But then bread was this kind of thing that just beat the shit out of the cook. It's just, because if you got it wrong, you sucked. Yeah. And the
bread was like, fuck you, bro, yeah, do it right.
Bread's like, screw you, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a turning point when you're making bread and you're failing at it a lot, and then you earn your bread baker's hands. Like, is what one person was kind of describing it like. Because you're kneading dough, and a lot of people, when they're new at it, and myself included at the time, the dough's sticking in your hand. Mm-hmm. And you just got mounds of dough on your hand. You're moving this thing around. And it's just a mass of, like, it looks like a torn up carpet. You're like, what the hell? Yeah. What the hell is this? It's not working, chef! What am I doing wrong? And he'll come over. Just go. It's a freaking ball, and there's no dough on his hands. You're like, what did you do? What did you do? And your bread baker's hands are just when you realize how to kind of shape it, the right amount of pressure, and then that's just the first battle of not screwing it up. Mm. You gotta watch your timing on your proof. How much salt did you put in? How much yeast are you putting in? What are your inclusions? Like the bread I brought you today is Swedish peasant ring is what they were called.
With a burnt brown sugar and a hint of cognac.
It's got a bit of ground cumin and crushed fennel in there. And it's a mix of whole wheat, bread flour, and dark rye flour. Mm-hmm. So it's got a whole lot going on. I thought I was making a bread, but I found out that it's actually supposed to be more of like a focaccia. So that's why it's like flat.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of had to switch gears in the middle of making it. It was just in a big book. And
that's the only bread I'm like really good at making.
Yeah?
No, yeah.
It's great. The focaccia is so delicious, and you can throw so many things at it, and it makes it even more delicious.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Some people are like, whoa, you only got salt on that focaccia? Like, did you try it yet?
Yeah. It's delicious. It can be fine with just a little salt.
It's delicious.
Definitely, man.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I got into cooking, and I was able to try a couple of different restaurants. I got to try my bakery. I got to try working in a ramen restaurant, and now I'm in a steak restaurant. So I'm like
really trying some different things.
Yeah, I want to keep myself nice and rounded out, so I can just be, I guess, thirsty for more techniques.
Yeah.
And Brad's got a lot of them.
Yeah, you're very passionate, dude. I would say definitely like one of the most passionate like chefs that I know, for sure. And I know quite a few, dude. You know?
It's like fits of like anger.
That's being a chef though, bro. That's it, you know? It's a lot to there's a lot to deal with in the industry that I think, you know, isn't painted well. Mm. Or isn't seen maybe on TV. Yeah. You know what I mean? With the, I think there was like quite a, like an influx, if that's even the right word. Sometimes I use words that I don't know what they fully mean. but no, like there was like this rise of chefs and like cooks coming into the industry because of like Food Network and like all these food shows. Like obviously now it's like very common and like there's a lot of them, and Hell's Kitchen's like I think 21 seasons deep, but like, yeah, just a lot of people. Like when I went to school, I did 2 years, and then after that, maybe 6 months after the 2 years, like less than half the people in my class, there was maybe like 20 something, were in the industry. Less than half, dude. 6 months. Because it's just like, I feel like it paints this picture of this, like, just happy-go-lucky. Like, yeah. It's something even my lady was, like, pointing out. Like, there's not even hairnets on Hell's Kitchen. Like, that's how...
Yeah.
You know, or they don't wear any hats or anything. Some of them wear, like, bandanas and stuff or sweat. But, like, there's so many things that just aren't right. And I think there's this misconception. And once you get into the industry, it's like, it can be a lot, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to enjoy cooking, you know?
Was there something that surprised you when you got into the industry where you're like, I didn't expect I had to do this? Or like, this is something I would prefer to not do while I'm in this industry?
I really wanted to believe that it was an industry that kind of was different from a lot of others, in the sense that if you're good, the best people are at the top.
Yeah.
Essentially. You know? Yeah, yeah. And that's not necessarily, and this is not like a stab at like anybody we work with right now.
No.
This isn't anything like that. I'm just saying, it's so not like that.
Yeah.
And like some of like the most if I would say like the most passionate dudes I know, like, are all fucking prep dudes. Yeah. Every single one of them, you know? Mm. And it's just, it's a weird thing, you know? There's a lot of politics. And obviously, this is like, you can be talking about any job.
Yeah.
But it's just something I wanted to believe was different. Because it's like, it's an art as well. You know what I mean?
I would agree.
And so,
I would agree.
You just kind of hope, and then you get into it, and it's like, ah. And then, I don't know, man. I enjoy doing it. It's what I'm good at.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, at the end of the day, like, I want comedy to take off. And I want to kind of slowly, like, I want to, like, inch away from, you know, culinary and move to comedy.
Yeah, like...
Full time.
Let me inflate your culinary ego a bit. But, like, when I started working with you, and you had freaking nice cuts, freaking accurate, like, truly what the recipes were looking for, I'm like, this is amazing. We didn't have this all the time. I gotta freaking shift closer to the guy, freaking grab a couple techniques off you. And I feel like it does reflect in some of the stuff that I do now, is stuff that I saw you doing. And it's small things. It's just the way you'll cut something, the way you can hold something, or your approach, which cambros you use, or which hotel pens you use for something.
Mm.
It just, it's like, oh, that person thinks differently. He's now approaching this at a different angle. I want to take those angles too.
Likewise though, dude.
Yeah.
I've taken some things from you, and like, you know, I've maybe taken one or two things from Carrie as well. I feel like,
that's just all right.
What you do. That's just what you do. You see someone do something that makes a little more sense than the way you're doing it. And it's like, well, I don't want to do the thing that doesn't make sense. You know, like, this makes more sense. And, you know, sometimes when you're not around the person that showed you, you say it was your technique.
Definitely.
No, of course.
Both thought of the same thing?
Yeah. Like,
got great minds think alike. That's the only way that happened.
there's quite a, you know... It's a decent team at Chop, man.
I would say
so. You know?
Yeah.
And it speaks, I think, with when people leave and then wanting to come back. Like, it says a bit. Like, it's definitely not perfect, but man, it's all right. It's not too bad.
Yeah, I think we've been fortunate to land where we are. Is it with everyone being at what I would say is a high skill level? We're able to be very comfortable and have a good time while we're at work.
Yeah. And, I feel, in all honesty, I feel like people like are just like having excuses to try to come back and work with the prep team, because we're always like, we got music on and we're dancing. Are they getting any work done? And it's like, oh, you guys are out of here already?
Yeah.
Like that, you know? And it's, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's a thing that probably I was like, or my misconception was, oh, okay, I'm a kind of a work slave just by habit of my previous employments in like the trucking and car industry. Because it'd be like, all right, you're scheduled in for a 9-hour shift. We ended up doing 10 or 11 hours. Like every day, 5 or 6 days a week. And in culinary thus far over the like two and a half years that I've been working it now, is, oh, you're scheduled for like 7.5-8 hours, but because we are the skilled team that we are, we crush it out in 5. I'm like, there's no other work for me to do aside from like trying to take other people's work, and then that just kind of feels awkward. So I'm like, I guess I'll just leave. And I'm like, I thought it was an industry where I was going to be grinded into dust, and I don't feel that way. I thought it's a lot more comfortable than I was expecting.
Were you ever like a line cook? Did you ever do like any shit on the line? I feel like that's like a lot of, that's kind of why I went to prep, because it was a little more, it was a little more chill. And if you had the right people, like it wasn't, you know, very hard. You know what I mean?
When I was at my first job, I'm not gonna say the place, but
Boston Pizza.
Fuck you. Not gonna do it. It was no. I was.
Does it rhyme with Back's Hack Yard?
No, it used. If I was trying to make a rhyme, it would be syllables. I don't know if I could.
Okay, it's all right. You don't have to name it.
I'll say that it was a Japanese style restaurant. I was working the line. There was not a lot of prep to do. So a lot of stuff was kind of just small cuts to get into our line fridges. And then I'd have like 2 or 3 pans going behind me. It was kind of like running a saute station. Because a lot of the stuff was just quickly done in a pan and then thrown on a plate. And at the time, we didn't have a lot of business because the place was still like, we were still like quarantine times. So we were doing a lot of takeout, really. And it got busy at times, but it wasn't dynamic enough for me to stay there. And I kind of had numerous disagreements. Another misconception is like, oh, I get into a restaurant, I expect there to be very high levels of like food quality or like food standard. But there was a lot of corners cut in that place, and management that just didn't seem to want to fix it. Even though the problems were so glaring. I don't know how much you want me to divulge out of that.
No, but no. Like, I've worked at places, and you're a better man than me. I'll call them out. Milestones, Heartland, you're fucking nasty. You spent a bunch of money fixing up your restaurant, making it look good on the outside, and you did nothing in the kitchen. You nasty bastards.
Now I feel like I want to take a dig at this place.
But good on you taking the high road, bro. Good on you. Dude, you know, sometimes that's nice.
Dude, I'll ninja turtle this. I'll freaking go. I'll drop to the sewer. Yo.
Don't do it.
No. Don't do it now. You can't stop it now. Now we're on this. You, Kaku, Heartland. You suck.
Okay.
What's
with Heartland?
Dude. Not Heartland. No, Heartland. Square One. They're in Square One. They're right off on a little street in a weird kind of business building. Wow, do they not want to keep things at the correct temperature?
A sushi place too,
dude. It's a barbecue place. We had all these shaved meats, and all of them being held at every danger zone you could imagine.
Yeah,
and we would have this tablet that keeps checks on that, and you take a little thermometer. You're like, okay, that's the temperature, and you take a little picture of it.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be at, you know, a certain amount of cold so that your meat is not spoiling during service.
It's called the danger zone.
And all of them are in the danger zone. And I'm taking a picture of it, and I'm like, hey, this fridge is fucked. You want to fix this? Managers would be like, no. Why don't you just take a camber of ice, dip that in there, and then you quickly go this and take a picture of it. Wow. So you get a false measurement. It was terrible.
That seems like it's like just like, it would be easier to just fix the prop.
Yeah.
Like why are you just fix the prop? To...
Like maybe it was, you know, it's COVID times. They don't have the money for it. I don't care. Your corporation, you have 100,000 fucking locations. Fix the fridge. Fix the fridge.
Yeah.
Oh, we're carrying things over for too long. The customer called and said the corn tastes sour.
Keep your fridges clean, motherfuckers.
Keep your fridges clean. Just don't serve rotten less. Just don't do it. Just...
All right, dude. So you don't have social media.
But no, I don't. You can't find me.
Yeah, so wait. So, like, what, before I do this, why don't you have social media? You and Rachel both don't have social media. Like, it's wild.
No.
What made you decide not to have social media?
This is a very early decision in my life.
Did you get... Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Also, were you guys both, like, already anti-social media when you met? Or, like, was it something that you kind of, like, are both, like, we're in this together, let's just do it. We already have each other, you know? Like, you know?
No, it wasn't like that.
Okay.
I would say... like in high school, like way back in our day,
yeah,
when MSN was coming out, and
that was the shit.
All the chat function, chat rooms and stuff like that were coming out, and like Hotmail, Messenger, and that kind of stuff. Like I wasn't exactly, and people with having phone messaging and stuff. I didn't have a phone when other people had phones. I didn't have a toaster computer at the time. So at the time all this was getting popular and people were using it, I was already like what would probably only be 6 months behind, but be like it would feel like you're 2 years behind everyone else on the technology coming out, and the latest medias to be on, I was already kind of behind, and I was like, and then I kind of just pushed back at it pretty early once I got onto it. I'm like, this is a waste of time. Like, I really liked playing video games back in the day, and I still do now. I'm like, am I gonna sit in front of my computer and talk to people about stuff? I could just be trying to beat the next Mario game.
Yeah, like, yeah, okay.
Like, so then it just, I could see this just happening more and more. People are just spending so much time being on their phone at even way back, just talking about pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Because like, we're in high school, there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
Like,
you're not important.
I'm still not important.
Well, I'm just saying, especially in high school, you're even less important than. You're
barely human.
You're barely.
Barely human.
Like, you say things like lit and shit. Like,
yeah.
How are you?
You remember
what I mean?
I don't know if you remember it or it was even said. You remember. Or maybe it was recent. Pressed?
Pressed?
Like, man, I feel pressed.
Oh, fuck, I don't know. There's so many things I don't... I honestly don't want to be that guy, but I'm over it, bro.
I know, there's so many things.
I don't even go to Urban Dictionary anymore, bro. I used to. I'm over it, man. That sounds stupid. I'm not even looking up...
It's dumb.
I'm not looking up what no cap means.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it, yo.
So there were just things happening in that culture of things just was... It just turned me off. I'm like... there's a better use for my time than spending my time on those platforms. What I used to do at that time is I would go on tour. So I'd hop on my bike and I would go to every one of my friends' houses for like 20 minutes. So I would do it. So I'd run down to my buddy Danny's place. Be like, hey, I see your dad's got a barbecue going. What's going on with that?
And then, like, then you'll be like, Jason, you know there's computers now, right, yeah, dude? Like, and why are you here?
So I'd be like, I go and visit him. I get some food there. Go over to my buddy Scott's place. I'm like, hey, man. At the time, that house had a pool table. We'd shoot some pool. And I'd be like, all right, later, dude. Mm. Go to my other buddy's place. Like, hey, Steve, what are you doing? You want to play some Yu-Gi-Oh? We'll just,
yeah.
And we play some, yeah, play some cards. We'll play some Smash Brothers at my other buddy's house. And maybe one of them would be like, hey, I'm not doing anything. Can I come with you? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And we
pick
just
pick up a couple along. Be like, one gets lost along the way. Exactly. Where the fuck's Billy?
Yeah, who knows? And we weren't like some biker gang or anything, but like, we just, I was like,
we had bikes though.
We had bikes.
And we called ourselves a gang. Gator gang. Gator gang.
We were just going out. Like, you want to go to a forest and find, like, I don't know, bunch of logs and like try and hit each other with them, like,
yeah, there was like something about like just, and I don't think kids do it anymore, like, from what I see. It's, yeah, like, we're like, we would just go out and we wouldn't have a plan. Like,
no,
there wasn't. It's like, hey,
no plan.
You guys want to meet up and go to the mall? Like, that shit now, texting, yeah, each other, figuring out where we're gonna meet. It's like, we didn't do that. We just went out. We're like, what can we do?
Whatever.
We just walked in a direction and we found, yeah, shit to do, and that, you know.
Hmm. It was like, oh, there's a river there.
Yeah.
You want to try and
there's find, a dead fish.
Like, that's a dead deer.
Dude.
Friggin' sweet.
Like, oh my God. I poked many a dead animal,
like,
as a child.
Just, let's walk over the rocks, slip, fell in. Now we got a story. Like,
yeah,
it's just,
what, yeah, dude.
Like, that's what we did back then. And it was not being on social media that allowed that to happen. And so nowadays it's just never, I've seen the wagon.
Yeah.
It's been there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not on that wagon.
That's and cool, man. I can appreciate it.
I'm not saying that it's not a necessary thing. It might just be a necessary thing now.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
Nope.
Oh shit, you're not even gonna be able to subscribe. Son of a bitch.
There was a moment where we tried.
Oh yeah?
Yeah,
maybe we should do this.
We had a little channel. Two friends, Steve and Chris and Rachel and I, we did a little video game channel where we just talked about whatever while we were playing a video game. We were just playing Smash Brothers, or we played a couple of Xbox games or something. We did it for a little bit. I think we call it Game Changers or something to that effect. And we did a little sound bite at the beginning, a little controller that like phased in, and I think I had my voice real low and I was like, what do you think of this? And then that was it. That was our intro. All
right.
And I don't know. I think we only did like four or something episodes, and then we just called it quits. We're like, this is too much editing work. But like, Chris did like a pretty good job on the episodes that were there.
Mm.
And my buddy Dave did a little outro music for them. And it was nice. But power to all you guys who do this on a regular basis. Because it's a lot of work. And a lot of work behind the scenes that people don't see.
Well, thanks, man.
Really, really well.
I enjoy doing it. Mm. And like putting up this wall was like a motherfucker, but I think it looks really good now. It took a bit. Like I said, it's been like 2 months,
yeah,
since the last episode. But yeah, so over the course of, I don't know, the last 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, I've been doing video game character tournament. I've done a couple before.
Mm.
And there was like a trilogy tournament. This is maybe like the fourth one. I want to say it's the fourth one.
Word.
And so there's 32 characters that are involved. I'm just going to kind of go through the rounds as they happen and just kind of say who got what. And then, yeah, announce the winner at the end. All right, so round one, we had Sub-Zero beat Link. We talked about that. One vote.
What?
Yeah.
By one vote?
18-17.
I knew it was going to happen. We brought that up.
Oh. Sub-Zero's not even my favorite Mortal Kombat character, but that's okay.
I just knew, like, the people with the deep lore knowledge of Sub-Zero would climb out of the trenches and win it for him.
All right, then we're going Spyro, beat Max Payne.
Oh, nice.
Solid Snake, beat Rayman. Ryu, beat Sam Fisher. Yeah. Sonic, crushed Lara Croft.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't stand a chance.
Luigi, beat Agent 47.
Yeah,
I can see that. Do you play any of the Assassin's Creed? Ezio? Is it Ezio? I want to say that's how you say his name.
It's on my list.
He beat, yeah. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, am I saying the name right?
Yeah, Ezio.
Okay. Yeah, he beat John Marston.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish.
Like 21-9.
I wish those guys were in different brackets. I'm actually impressed that you had both of them on your list.
Crash Bandicoot beat Aerith Gainsborough. Mm. I think that's how you say it. Mario crushed Duke Nukem.
No, that's not even a contest.
Yeah. I thought it would be a little closer. Then we got Fox McCloud beat Samus.
Really?
Yep. 19-15. Master Chief beat Niko Bellic by one vote. So that was a close one. Pac-Man, again, crushed Simon Belmont.
What?
Yeah.
It's the wrong people doing vote. Or, no, I'm not going to rant about it. Go. if I say anything like, between these, it's like we're never going to get to the end of it. Go.
It's okay.
I'm enraged.
Castlevania, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Knuckles, Joanna Dark. Chun-Li, crushed Gordon Freeman. Trevor Phillips beat Scorpion, which was weird. For me, Scorpion's like my favorite Mortal Kombat guy, so I just thought he'd make it further than Sub-Zero, but whatever, yo. Hmm. Arthur Morgan beat Cloud Strife.
Arthur Morgan. I feel like I don't know
where that is. Red Dead Redemption.
I think he's the second guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why they beat Cloud, yeah. Okay.
Okay, then. So, second round, this one was hard for me because these are like, well, we're going to get into it after, but mm-hmm. Sonic versus Luigi and Sonic mm-hmm. 1.
Oh.
Master Chief beat Ryu.
Yeah.
Another surprise, Sub-Zero beat Spyro. I didn't know there were so many freaking Sub-Zero fans.
I was telling you, I don't know what the lore is. I know there's like a bunch of it though.
Yeah.
And yeah. If anyone's into it, I think Scorpion's got some tie-ins too, but it's just like, there's a lot to find and like about him or get behind. So, I obviously, those people...
I would say, like, the faces of the Mortal Kombat games are Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like Liu Kang. No one's talking about Liu Kang.
Yeah, Johnny Cage. nobody cares.
Get out of here. Sonic, get out of here. Like...
All right. What was that? Okay, so Pac-Man beat Ezio.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Crash Bandicoot beat Chun-Li.
Really?
Knuckles beat Solid Snake. That's a little wild to me. Yeah. I was surprised. These are just ones that I'm surprised. Knuckles.
I'm surprised there.
Mario beat Arthur Morgan. And then Trevor Phillips beat Fox McCloud. Alright, so the quarterfinals are Mario versus Sub-Zero. Finally, Sub-Zero's gone, obviously. Master Chief beat Knuckles.
Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot beat Trevor Phillips.
Nice.
And Sonic beat Pac-Man. So the thing I like about the final four, so it was Sonic versus Crash Bandicoot and Mario versus Master Chief. So yeah, Sonic, Sega, Master Chief is Xbox.
Crash
is PlayStation. Like, to me, these are like who these... these systems represent.
They're like, I'll get into it with later, but it's like they're the pillars of their system. They're the brand face.
Yeah, and so Sonic beat Crash, and Mario beat Master Chief.
A classic
so,
final bout.
Insane, and like going into it, I very much wanted Sonic to win. I don't know where you're at. Mario's not even on my top five. We'll go through that after. But at the same time, I love Mario games. I do. I'm just more of a Luigi guy. That's why the Sonic and Luigi thing was like, damn it. You know?
Yeah,
Mario ended up beating Sonic 24-15. But it was good. It was a good little final four, I thought. Very appropriate.
I think the people have made the correct decision. But it depends. It almost depends on what you grew up with. It ties so deeply into that. And what kind of sucks is if you, like, depending on your household, it almost depended on your parents. Because you as a child probably didn't purchase the first system that ended up in your house.
Yeah.
Your parents made that decision.
Yeah.
And I totally remember back when, like, N64 and PlayStation were just coming out. It's like, it's the 3D era.
Yeah.
Here it's coming. And my dad asked me, he's like, because it's the only question that they can really propose is, which one's better? And it's like which one's better really isn't the point. Like, it, unless you're thinking of, like, system specs, but as a child, it's like, you don't really know which one's better, but you kind of are just looking for the characters that you want to play.
Yeah.
And at the times, like, I didn't really know. And I'm like, I have some friends that have the N64. I have some friends that are getting the PlayStation. I'm like, I don't really know. So it just came down at that moment that I got a PlayStation.
Okay.
But again, it was a decision that I somewhat had input on, but didn't really.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a money thing for all I know. Like, that one was just on sale at the time and you just picked that one up. So I became like a Crash Bandicoot kind of Spyro guy, like, really early on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I of course had, like, a Super Nintendo and had some time on Sega and other stuff like that. But when that turn of the era came along, I ended up being a PlayStation guy. And it kind of, in retrospect, it kind of sucks that way, because then at that point in our lives, we started to make camps. And they're...
Oh, you play Nintendo?
Exactly. It ended up being the war of systems at the time. And it's like, oh, you have Nintendo? Yeah, your graphics aren't as good. Look at all these polygons.
Fucking,
like,
loser.
Loser. And then Xbox comes out and it's like, oh, Halo's like the next thing. It's like, all your systems suck now in comparison. Like, get on our level. Like, it's kind of fun to, like, have the rivalry. Like, were you a Nintendo guy? Like,
I was both, man.
Yeah?
I love old school games, and I had both growing up, like, at different periods. Mm. And like Sonic and Mario, like, those games were just, they'll always be, like, my favorite, you know. Yeah. Pretty much, like, it shows in, like, my collections and stuff. Like,
yeah, I had to, like, and you're also at the, or, like, if you're like me at the time of the earlier systems, when it was like Super Nintendo and Sega, and for a brief period, I guess, Sega Saturn, and, like, Dreamcast when they're, like, trying to come out.
Dreamcast, like, the thing about Dreamcast, it's like, it was just released at the fucking wrong time, really, man. Was. I really think that's what it was. They should have, yeah, like, just taken, like, another year, mm-hmm, slimmed the control down a bit, yeah, like, you know?
Holding a book.
But, like, they had some fun games.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. Mm-hmm. Bro, like, there was, like, a year where I played nothing but Crazy Taxi, bro. Nothing.
I never got to try the games. I think I saw, like, Pilot Wings or something in there.
Oh, I don't know if I played that, but the Pilot Wings from freaking 64 is awesome, though.
I saw the one from 64, too. I think it got, like, re-released on it, or I don't know. But, like, back then, we didn't have a system in my house, so I was learning my video game characters from what other people got. So I go to my buddy's house, he's got the Ninja Turtles game, playing, mm-hmm, Turtles in Time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We go to another... Go to my cousin's house. They've got only a regular, original Nintendo. So I'm playing Shinobi and a, mm-hmm, weird boat game where you shoot at a dragon.
Like, don't even remember the name. Shout out boat game that you shoot at a dragon.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like an old Sega game. And then we go to, like, this cottage where a friend of my parents let us stay there in, like, Wasega or something. They have an N64 in there. I'm like, oh, sweet! And I'm like, look at... They have Legend Legend of Zelda, sweet. And I'm like playing and get stuck in the Lost Woods and don't get like even to like Hyrule Castle. I just get like stuck as a child at that point because like I'm too dumb to figure out whatever puzzle's yeah. going on. But I just loved the world and it was just like, oh, this is so cool. Like, video games are the best. I'm probably going to play them till I die.
And yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And the sense of wonder of being able to just kind of see a variety of stuff. Just I didn't have any of my own. It was really, really cool. And kind of made me want to have, like, a lot of stuff. And I thusly do at this point.
All right. So I'm going to go through my top five characters.
Oh, boy.
I think just going by who I have, you can kind of just tell the kind of games that I'm generally into. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what like a lot of games now are lacking. Mm-hmm. And like it's something I make fun of. Kakaluchi's my dude. But like every game he plays is just like the same game he was just playing.
Yeah.
But with like different guns.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, but the guns are different. And like it's just, it just seems like they're all, you know, and I'm like, I'm very big on like characters. And I think like these characters... Mm-hmm. Like, are missing... Well, with the exception of, like, one, I guess. But yeah, mm-hmm. number one is Sonic.
Yeah.
Then I'm going Luigi, number two. Yeah. Now, my love for Luigi, instead of Mario... Obviously, I started loving Mario.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a product of Mario Party mm-hmm. and also never getting to be first player.
Ah.
And I was just like, well, fuck, Luigi's better anyway, yo. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Maybe I just convinced myself... Along the line,
but legs,
in Mario high. Party, he break dances when he wins, and I just thought that was dope. I was like, "What does Mario do? Yahoo! He jumps in the air and shit. It's boring."
Like, wait, we've seen it all.
Yeah, get out of here, bro. Yahoo! And then I'm going Rayman. It's my number three.
Ooh,
there
nice.
Hasn't been a good Rayman game in a while, but like, those old school platformer games is where I'm at, man. Those are my favorite. They'll always be my favorite.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number four is Yarny, who is the character from the Unravel games. They did
oh,
two.
Oh, yeah.
Those games are beautiful. The gameplay is fun. There's, mm-hmm. like, puzzles and stuff. It's not necessarily too complicated. Like, I feel like just, like, you know, an everyday gamer could have fun with it as much as, like, an experienced gamer, you know?
Yeah.
And he's, like, just a cute fucking ball of yarn. A person made of yarn. Number five, Crash Bandicoot. And honestly, it was really in between Spyro and Crash Bandicoot on this one.
It's tough.
And,
their games were coming out side by side. Yeah. So it's like you have the same level of like personal commitment in both. So I feel that.
I feel like Spyro was maybe a little easier for me. And so I might have played more Crash Bandicoot just as a result. So that I think that might be why he's five.
That's why I have all of their games on my shelf. Like, aside from the new one that's on like Xbox, it was like digital. I'm like... I don't have a physical.
I haven't played Crash Bandicoot 4 yet, but I got the trilogy when they re-released like the two of them. They had the Spyro trilogy and the Crash. I got both of those.
I played one of the later Spyro games that I hadn't got, and I'm like, wow, this formula doesn't like hold up. Like, oh God, is this boring? Like,
damn,
why did I find this so enthralling as a child? Like the first couple of games where I was just like, I could spend hours, and I'm like. It was painful on some of the later games, but wow. All right, I'll give you some of mine.
All right.
Wait, did we say video game characters, right?
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now.
As I've got like a large list.
Okay, go ahead.
So
you got more than five is what you're saying.
There's about like 20 minutes on here. It's about 20. Okay. So let me try and fly through them in a reason of the relevance. And I'm just going to say... Link and Zelda are kind of like a combo.
Mm-hmm.
I say they're great. I consider them one of the pillars of the like video game kind of thing. When you think video games, Link and or Zelda comes to mind.
I was really surprised Link was out as early as he was.
Oh yeah, he's been in the game for a while, and people don't realize he's not Zelda.
Like, oh, I know, right?
It's Mario, he's a pillar. But I'm going to put a spin on this, is that I don't like traditional Mario. Is that I think Paper Mario and or Mario RPG's rendition of Mario is the best Mario.
Okay.
Because if you get into them, check out Paper Mario Thousand Year Door and or...
I played the one for 64 and the one for Wii.
Fantastic games.
Yeah.
They just bring the whole Mario universe into a different lens. People are a little bit more snarky. People are a little bit more quirky. And they just deal with problems that are not jump from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you get a lot more of the personality out of all the characters on the cast. And you get to see some cool faces that you wouldn't normally see be put in the spotlight. They got Boos that have a different personality. They're like little coffee shop people. Or
yeah,
you've got Toads that are guards that have families that, you know, go to war. Like,
yeah, yeah.
There are kind of things like that are really cool. And characters that we'll never see again out of Mario RPG, like Mallow's a friggin' Cloud.
Was that for Super Nintendo, right?
Yeah,
that was
Mario Super.
RPG? Yeah.
I haven't played that in so long, but I do remember.
It's really good. Donkey Kong, again, okay. A pillar. He's been in the game a long time. And all of his platforming games are so, I want to call them tight. They got a certain amount of bullshittery in them that let you kind of abuse mechanics in such a way. And the only one I can really like cite immediately is the fact that you can roll and then jump out of that roll.
Yeah.
So like everyone's like, oh, I want to pick Diddy because he's so nimble and he's like fast and stuff. I'm like, you don't understand about Donkey Kong's roll. You just roll like, down.
Why don't you get it?
Into a pit and then
and
jump.
Jumped out.
You just jump out. It's like you're clearly dead, but you just jump out of like off screen like real estate. And it's just so fun. Like so and you can just kill everything with DK rather than Diddy because he's weaker. But regardless, he's a pillar. Mega Man.
Okay. Alright.
And to an extent, Mega Man X / Zero. Because the characters are so damn cool. Moving from Mega Man up to X and Zero, it was like getting the turning the mature setting on. And you're like, that cool thing that was kind of challenging and easy to get into for Mega Man, now ramp up the difficulty, give me some more mature pixel art, and you got Mega Man X and Zero. And that's when I kind of got into Mega Man. And kind of went reverse.
Mm.
I'm like, wow, this game is so cool. I was playing Mega Man X and Mega Man X 2. And I was like, this is so cool. Oh, Mega Man had something before this? Sweet. And then I started playing all of those too. And I got like all that stuff in the collection. He's a pillar. Friggin', you think about it. Sonic being one of them. Absolutely fantastic. Set the bar for what fast pace should look like. And make you confused at the same time, like, that you're playing. Like, what the heck's going on? The screen's doing this. It gave you an exhilarating feeling, like, for Sonic games. Those would be kind of your, like, is that five? I think that was five.
I think that was five.
That's like five of my, like, those people are, like, just, they built gaming. The developers in there built gaming. Aside from, like, all of my other mentions, which I'll say is, like, Samus and the Castlevania-style games,
mm-hmm.
It literally is a genre of gaming now, which people will be like, oh, that's a Metroidvania. That, because those two titles, they're the best. They're the best at that. A Metroid-style game. Or a Castlevania-style game, Metroidvania-style game. Fantastic characters. The ones you wouldn't think of, which apparently you did, which are on your list, were like Ezio Auditore.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic character.
Yeah.
What a great story. The writers for the Assassin's Creed series got all like fired and stuff, and they like had to tank that whole like story arc.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's literally what happened. And the game like took a terrible turn. I have like 90% of all of like the Assassin's Creed.
I'm games. Behind by like, one. I'm playing Odyssey right now. Yeah. I think I'm behind one.
Yeah, I think I have to play Odyssey and like a couple other. I even have the ones that are side scroller.
Oh, okay.
I've played those, but it's like I was totally in it for the story. And Ezio was telling the best story. Yeah. Desmond was the best, like, main character. Like, the whole story-driven part was great. And then after that, it was just like, oh, we're the friggin' Shadow Company. Here's some VR. And that was the premise of every other game.
Yeah.
And, like, what happened to my story? They were going to go talk to God. Sorry, spoilers. But, like, what the heck? There's some sort of other being in the universe. Like, there was some cool stuff going on. It all got thrown in the garbage. So that kind of sucks. Spiral, Crash. Again, I was the same way. I got into those games, like, way, way early. And they were fantastic. As for, like, super good characters that you wouldn't think about right at the beginning of the era of video games, Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse had some of the best games out there.
There was
for platforming.
There was a really good, like, haunted... Oh, you know what? I'm actually thinking it might have even been Minnie Mouse or something. There's, like, this haunted house game for NES.
I think I have
it. Oh, it's really good. That's a great game.
There's one where they're in a circus. There's one where it's just, like, he's walking through plants and stuff. Like, they just had... Like, Mickey games are really good. Disney games are really good. Like, Rachel can get through the Lion King, like, Super Nintendo game, like, effortlessly. And then I try and play it, and I'm like, I'm trash. I can't play that game. Just do the same thing with, like, Aladdin. And I'm like,
yeah.
The fireballs keep hitting me. I have 30 years of video
those
game
are great
experience.
Games. Both
I
of those
suck.
Games are great.
Like, they're just so good. I say another character you can get really behind, Left 4 Dead.
Ooh.
1 and 2. That crew just did an amazing job on each of those characters that you can play.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the facial expressions. They put a lot of work into actually making you feel really connected to those characters.
They were really fun games too, bro.
They're fun as hell.
Yeah.
I put so many hours.
And they did Back 4 Blood. I don't know if you, but it's like kind of like a sister game. I feel like it's the same people.
Yeah,
It's not the same, man.
I've seen a lot of the gameplay. I'm like, it doesn't have the same charm. It doesn't have the same kind of sense of urgency that the previous games gave it. So I'm like, I'm not even going to jump on board.
Yeah.
Like, I was really excited for it. And then I got unexcited when I actually saw it. The last person I'll mention,
all right.
I have more, but I'm just going to mention him last. Out of the Final Fantasy series, is actually Zack instead of Cloud.
Okay.
And you'd have to have played Final Fantasy VII to know who I'm talking about. I just thought he was a cooler character.
Okay.
He's just a romantic musclehead who puts his job before his romance, which is kind of silly. And his game, Crisis Core, on the PSP has probably the best ending I've ever, like, had the privilege of playing. Like, I think it's just the best.
Okay.
If you haven't played it already, it's too bad. I'm going to spoil it right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to spoil it right now. Is, like, you've got all... You are what you are at the end of a game where you're a very powerful person. But you are in a situation where... You're saving Cloud from being taken by the Shinra army. And they've got everything. They got tanks. They got helicopters. And now it's just you versus an army. And you fight that army. They just keep flooding in. And I thought, like, I'm going to win. And then whatever, it'll have something where they cut to some other scene and they do the end of the game. That's usually what would happen in a final boss battle.
Yeah.
But... The army just keeps coming. And you're fighting, you're whooping their asses. But, you know, eventually you take some hits, of course, because you're fighting a fight. And you use up your items and you heal up. But then you're out of items. And you're out of magic and you're out of items to bring your magic back. And you're fighting and fighting. You fight until you die.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the coolest shit. Like, you're being the human shield for your friend. Who's sick and you fight until you die. And I'm like, this is the coolest fucking thing. And then they shoot you dead, like, right, and it proceeds into the ending video, but I'm like, that's the coolest ending I experienced. And it
so what if you didn't know and you just like are you just you, can't survive, I guess it's no, impossible
you,
to
you,
survive.
It's impossible to survive, but it's until it dawns on you that this fight isn't ending, it's like, oh, I'm gonna fight till I die. And it was a really, really, really great ending. And I'm like, Zach deserves some more spotlight.
All right. Let's do superheroes.
Okay.
Okay. I'll go through mine quick. I do them every episode. Yep. Okay. Batman. Mm-hmm. The Ninja Turtles as a group.
Oh, yeah.
Going Red Hood. Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spider-Man. That's my five.
I like
Red Hood. Honorable mention to my grandma. Real person. Like I was saying earlier, like some people have done like real people. And after the first person that did that, I was kind of like, oh man, am I a piece of shit for not doing like anybody who actually like really helped me?
Yeah. Like,
but
I was like, when you had asked on superheroes, I was like, I think I need to do this in the media that I'm consuming. So I'll say, I did that.
There's going to be some anime, right?
There's gonna be a couple. I say, in the way of Western comics, I would say my early exposure was a lot of like whatever comics I could get my hands on. I only had a few things, and a lot of them were Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Spider-Man was in there. Nightcrawler.
Oh yeah.
Which like I don't know. I just randomly had a couple of comics. Nightcrawler, like you just get to a comic book store and they're like, is that free? that's just what I had. So it's a Spider-Man.
Well, he's a great character. Oh, like, yeah. You seen X2?
No, I haven't seen X2.
Oh yet. My god, but he has like easily like the best opening scene for like maybe not easily, but it's arguably one of the best opening scenes for like any Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It's him, like, breaking into the White House, bro.
Oh.
It's amazing, yeah.
Well, like, so cool.
Yeah,
like, you get teleporting powers, you kind of look like a devil, like...
Yeah.
Hot mom, like, you know, like... but, like, friggin'... he was really, really cool. I would say Batman would be the next one up, but it became more of, like, once I got kind of more into some comics, Batman just... showed up, but then I ended up not seeing a lot of his stuff. I transitioned to later see Young Justice as, say, the next really cool thing.
Yeah.
Because Teen Titans was, like, kind of okay. I didn't watch all of it. But then when Young Justice came out and it was kind of getting that more mature angle, that really caught me. And then the storytelling was, like, really, really good.
Yeah,
so good. I want to say that team on Young Justice was, like, really cool. They'd be in... That whole kind of team is, like, in the top five. I'm like, you need all of them.
Yeah.
Or else it's kind of... Like, their individual stories aren't as interesting. It's just them all interacting is, like, really cool. And to a certain extent, the next thing that Batman became a big part of was the Injustice series. Where Superman is taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So then Superman and Batman became like, bang, I really like these two characters because that's the story they're telling in the Injustice world was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found the comic before I found out that it was a game.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
So then I got like a stack of the comics and then I bought the game later, which I still haven't played.
Oh, really?
So I need to actually play through that.
It's just Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I found out it was like a Mortal Kombat. I'm like, man, I suck at those games. I'm like, maybe I'll just keep reading the book. So, superhero-wise on Western-style comics, I'd say that's my go-to group. And if I was to mention someone who's not really like a hero, but I think I like them way more than that entire group,
okay,
is Morpheus and Lucifer out of Sandman.
Okay.
Which are like, not heroes, but like they're just entities that do good sometimes.
Yeah.
And Lucifer's just kind of in it for his own thing, but like also doing the world favors.
All right. I dig it. Let's do breads.
Breads.
Yeah. Okay. I can go first.
That's tough.
I feel like you're gonna have a significantly like different list than me, but focaccia, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going a Kaiser roll. I literally, there's a couple here. Kaiser was one of those. Like, is it considered a bread? I was like, I'm pretty sure, but I just had to Google it. You know what I mean? And then baguette, just like something about like, you know, like a warm baguette with just like a little bit of butter with some pasta. Like, fuck, man.
Ooh.
And then I'm going English muffin, which was the other one I had to Google to see if it was a bread.
Mm.
It is.
Oh, yeah. It is. It is.
And then I'm going bagel.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried making bagels?
You wouldn't expect the process to be so ridiculous.
I understand the process in theory. I've never done it myself.
Exactly. That's the thing. I know what it is in theory and more than one way to do it in theory. I haven't done it yet.
Mm.
I want to do it in one of the traditional ways. And I just haven't sourced one of the ingredients I need to do so, which is lye water.
All right.
So you have to burn it in lye water. Ridiculous.
So but, I'm curious. What all you right. got?
So, I had to kind of, again, I have more than what's asked out of five, but I'm going to say my best, or like my, what I think is the best thus far that I've had as a side bread. I'm going to say it's a side bread on the side. It's not the main meal. You'd get it in a basket or something. Onsen bread. So I just had this in Japan. Okay. It's so much so that like I had to... I loved it so much that like... I'm taking it. Red bar. It's fucking delicious. I haven't tasted it yet. It's delicious. I can already tell. And I mean, I'm like, can I have more of that, please? Can I have more of that? And they're like, yeah. And they brought it. Me more buns. They're like, no one's ever asked for this much bread. I'm like, I need it. And then later, I loved it so much that like the, I wrote out what I thought the recipe was, and then I went and talked with the manager, of the place, and I said, can you take this to the chef, ask them if I did it right, if that's the bread, because I wrote it out in percentages, because I'm like, I don't, if they're making 12 recipes or 6 recipes, like I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But if I do it in a percent, at least I know I'm close to how they made the bread and I can recreate that.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, wow. Cause I also like Google Translate and, like bread flour and wheat and yeast and stuff. And like wrote it all out in Japanese. So he could understand what I was trying to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, give it to the chef. And he's like, okay, I'm going to give it to the chef. This is very impressive. Thank you. This is so cool. And he goes, comes back. The chef comes out. He's like, this is really close. And I'm like, really? And he writes it all up. I'm off by like 1% on salt, like 1% on yeast, like 10% on the flour. Because he didn't use it. He doesn't use sourdough starter in there. The taste is coming from the onsen water. They're using onsen water in it instead of regular water, so it's salty. Mm. It's got minerals in it. It tastes delicious, like you're eating something that can only be made in that town because the hot water they're getting from that spring is only available there. Mm. It's the best bread. That's what it is.
Okay.
And it's a side bread. It's not even like a whole bread for your meal. It's not a side bread. It's the best bread I've ever had. Jason. The next one I would say that is king of most breads. Is, as you say, the baguette. It's king. You can have that in nearly any meal. If you had a baguette, you'd be like, if you have something with a sauce, you can be like, I can toast this up for a bit, and now I scoop it, it's like a crouton. You just have some dip. You can just have regular bread without toasting and put it on there. You can put it butter. You can make bruschetta. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. And I won't go into the process, because this isn't a bread channel, but like, the process is sacred, like on how to do it, and having some of that in France, like you can just tell, it's like, this is the epitome of bread. It's absolutely fantastic. The next bread that would that would be considered a flatbread. Mm-hmm. Focaccia's really nice. But Nan beats focaccia. Nan beats focaccia.
Okay.
Focaccia's fantastic. It's got a lovely amount of oil. You can do so many things with it. But just stock by itself, Nan beats it. The taste you get out of the inside of a tandoor on the size of those Nans is near and comparable to other things. Because no other bread is cooked that way. Well, I'm sure that there is, as I'm ignorant to all things. Again, cooking's so wide. Like, I still got more to learn. But it's so damn good. I think Nan beats focaccia in the way of flatbread.
Okay.
But focaccia is definitely close second. On, I want to call them inclusion breads. Bread with something in it, and I'm going to say a wet inclusion / a dry inclusion, like roasted red pepper and cheese and like jalapeno as an inclusion in a bread, is absolutely delicious. Because then you can just cut the bread and toast it. The cheese melts. It's delicious. You just made a meal out of that that loaf. And it requires very little effort once the bread is already accomplished. So it's so good. For something that's more of like a wet inclusion, kind of like a banana bread style kind of bread.
Okay.
So I'm thinking...
I'm a fan of banana bread.
So, yeah, because people will think of banana bread as kind of like a wet loaf type of thing.
Yeah.
But I will say that a sourdough pumpkin loaf is fucking phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. And it beats banana bread. That's probably that. Then I have to say to myself, well, is pastry bread? It kind of is.
I was there.
It kind
like
of is.
Croissant, maybe? Like, I don't know.
So I had to do a couple for something I want to call sweet breads.
Okay.
And I'm going to say almond croissants are so good. Just the fact that you have a croissant, which is also a very high-level bread, to have like an almond paste and some almonds over top, absolutely phenomenal. Something out of Japan, very close to my heart, melon bread. Melon bread, sweet little bun with like, it almost looks like a turtle shell on the top of it. And I'm like, how the hell do they do that? It's basically like a soft cookie that they put on top of the bread. And it looks generally flat, and they put like kind of a little crease in it. So when the bread rises, it breaks apart, and then it looks more like a turtle shell on the top. So it's kind of just like a really cool technique. Sugary, it's delicious. Baklava.
Okay.
Delicious. Is it bread? It's like sheets of dough. I think it's bread. I don't know. If you have enough sheets of dough, when does it become bread? Because the next thing that I would say is flaky pie crust.
Okay.
Is delicious. Mealy pie crust, get out of here. Flaky pie crust. I would take the same doughs and just roll them out super thin. And then you got butter in between. It's bread. You're banging. It's still kind of like bread. I understand it.
If we're going there, I want to give honorable mention to cinnamon buns then, you know?
Yeah, absolutely! You know? I'm calling that a bread.
Okay.
I'm calling it a bread. Those are my bread mentions.
That's what we got?
That's my bread mentions.
All right, what do we got next? All right, let's do comedians.
Comedians.
Top five comedians. Okay. Do you want to go first? Okay, all right.
So for the nostalgia factor, I'm going to go with this first. Because I got a list here. You'll probably say the same ones, which is why I wanted to say things that would be different. And I'm going to go early nostalgia, Robin Williams.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy.
Yep.
The crew of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Okay, yeah.
Mel Brooks. And I got to throw this guy in now. Because those are like my nostalgia. But right now they got the Theo Von's doing real good now.
Theo Von is killing it, bro.
He's killing it right now. But I would say I like him, Mark Norman, Sam Morrell.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing really good now. Like Kevin Hart, Louis C.K., like
yeah,
Giants, Chris Rock. like Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle. It's yeah. like you don't even have to say those names.
Yeah.
That's why I want to say like the first four there, like those ones okay. are the deep nostalgia there. Because all the other comics, The Killing.
I like it. I'm more like, of a Holy Grail guy myself, yeah. but hey, Monty Python.
Yeah. yeah. Pretty, it's so good. Like the only a wafer, like the and a fat guy explodes. Like you, it's comedy genius. You go into a guy goes into a store asking for cheese, and the guy has no cheese for him. But they just keep naming cheese, and then he shoots him. Like it's hilarious. Like
it is
the one that's like an island where they. Like, there's, like, seven different newscasters or something. They're all saying something about the island. They're constantly moving. And they just keep on breaking to the next guy. Like, I don't even remember what happened, but it's hilarious. Like, it's just... it's comedy gold. It's comedy gold. All right, what do you got? What do you got?
All right. Rogan is my number
one. Oh, yeah. Rogan really good.
He's my number one. Chappelle, who I just saw for the first time live this year. The first... It was amazing. Then I'm going Mark Forward, who's like more of like a Canadian legend in my mind. He's from like Oakville, and he writes for like Letterkenny, and he's on Letterkenny, and Mr. D, the show Mr. D, if you've ever seen that. It was a really funny show. He wrote for that and was the librarian. He's got his hands in a bunch of things, but then I'm going George Carlin.
Because
he's probably the guy who got me... Well, he is the guy, like, the first guy I think I've ever seen doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Burr is just... He's one of those guys who's, like, legit, like, getting better. Like, every special, I'm like, oh, well, it's not going to get better than that. And then the next one comes out, and it's like, oh, shit. Like, this guy's not done.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of anger in the tank. Like...
Well, even that, like, just the ability to channel that the way he does, to spit the straight truth, and a lot of the guys I feel like on my list, I like them because they have really good timing. Like their punchline comes at a particular cadence where they just get you, and I'm like, hilarious, absolutely hilarious. Well, I think probably Mark Norman being the most recent guy that I started watching, where it's just like, I love the cadence of his jokes. It's just really hilarious. So his delivery is fantastic.
All right.
Well, that's all I have for them.
So this last one, I'm curious how many you got for this. And like, I struggled getting five because like they're... If not my favorite band, like, definitely my second... I would probably say they're my favorite band. But it's a toss-up between two bands. And it's like, Linkin Park hasn't released anything in a long time, but then I go back and listen to them, and I'm like, oh, no, they're the best. One Step Closer is my shit.
Oh, yeah.
Just there's something about that guitar riff that just never gets old to me. Like, I love it. Lost in the Echo, which is from Living Things, which is
that's the one I haven't listened to yet.
Yo, it's the first song on the album, man, and it starts off with the. I think it like at that time in their career, it kind of was literally everything they had done in one song. That's what it felt like. Everything that Linkin Park had ever done up until that point, just if you can combine all that in one song, this was it. Lost in the Echo. Then I'm going Faint. I mean, again, really hype.
Yeah.
And just high school. Like, I don't think I knew a person who didn't like that song.
Yeah.
And then I'm going... It's so hard because there's so many, okay?
Yeah, I know, I know.
Wretches and Kings. Wretches and Kings off of, what was it off of?
Was that?
Hunting Party? I can't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like it's one of the newer albums.
But, yeah, it was definitely one of the more political albums that they did. I wish I could remember.
Fuck.
Anyways, yeah. Number five, Invisible, which is off their last album, which is like something that initially I didn't really like so much, man. And it grew on me a lot. I like ended up going to like BC. And this was like shortly after Chester passed away. And I just want to say, like right out the gate, I've never had a celebrity death affect me that way. Up until Chester Bennington dying, I had made fun of people. Like, yo, you didn't even know Robin Williams, bro. Like, just relax. Just relax. I didn't get it. Someone that I had, like, that actually meant something to me and, like, helped me, even though I don't know them, like, once they passed away, it was, like, really, like, I had people messaging me and shit. You know, like, hey, you are, right? No, for real, though, dude. For real. So it was rough. And then, you know, Chester dying, I went away and I was like, I want to give, like, this guy who I would say is arguably one of the best rock vocalists of all time. Like, I want to give his last bit of art that he gave us, like, another chance. Like, I just kind of wrote it off because it was, like, super poppy. But then once you listen to it, you realize these are, like, the same songs and the same, like, melodies and, like, shit they're talking about. And it's, like, they're structuring the songs the same. It's just a different genre of music. And I felt like it grew on me a lot. Mike Shinoda sings. Chester doesn't even sing in the song. But, like, the album itself is really good. Like, I like, there's like one song that is like not my favorite, but Linkin Park is a group that I feel like I honestly don't think they have a bad song. The new song that they released, I don't know if you know this, it's called Lost.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was like the very first, there's a video for it too. It was the very first like rock song that like debuted at number one in like 20 years. So I'm hoping eventually they kind of maybe release an album of like completely unheard stuff like that song, but who knows? Do you think they should get another singer, or would you think it should just, you know, they should be a memory?
I feel like if they did, it's gonna be one of those situations where everyone's just gonna keep comparing.
Yeah.
Comparing back, which kind of sucks for them. As artists who are going to try and keep pushing their craft further to be locked down by the memory. So it might be the decision to just not replace him. And, you know, Shinoda's got a great voice.
He does, like, man. They should just new name, same members, minus Chester.
Yeah. And I think that would be. I would take it with just Shinoda on vocals.
Yeah.
And proceed like that. Because it's like, I don't want to give any ammunition to any naysayers. Like, it's like you're saying with this new music, I've got to hear it. But
I listened to it at work a couple times.
If they're killing it, they still got it. So they're going to keep making albums that are, we hope they keep making albums.
The shoes are too big to fill, I think, at the end of the day. It's like,
you can't get someone to
be not, you're not replacing someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
On me, I'm into like some of the earlier stuff. I'll say right off the bat, just to get it off the table, is that the Hybrid Theory Reanimation like album.
So good.
The whole album.
It's amazing.
There it is. Yeah. It's the best album. It's my favorite album. It's the best one.
By myself is like, yeah.
Oh, it's just so good.
There's a lot of good ones.
But like Shadow of the Day.
Yeah.
You got like probably like Numb and Don't Stay, or like
Don't Stay is great,
like really really good. Don't Stay is probably like number three. Then maybe
fun fact about Don't Stay, the after like the main guitar riff and the DJ comes in, he's doing that one take it took him to do that
song. Oh shit,
I know, it's pretty freaking great too.
Yeah, it's that's great.
Why it's like, oh, one take, that's interesting.
And my top two are, I guess, because they're the songs I kind of first heard from them. And number two would be, was it Bleed It Out? No, Bleed It Out was, I didn't see Bleed It Out, but I heard it and I'm like, yo, this is fucking sick.
Yeah.
It's like really sick. And then I started getting into the other stuff, and like the Meteora album was freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
But the one where I like actually like first heard them was Breaking the Habit.
Okay.
It's the first song I heard.
That's a great
and
song.
And I saw it on like MTV or something or some. I saw it on TV because I saw the music video for it. I'm like, the whole artwork on it was just so cool. I'm like,
Tokyo Pop did like a little anime book like that was based on that whole music video. Like I have it. Yeah.
Oh, it was so cool. So that'd be probably my number one. It's fast. Beat really draws you in. Most of my playlists have like a lot of Linkin Park. Freaking great band. Hope to see more from them. And I gotta get caught up. Cause like a lot of like music in that era of time in my life, like I wasn't going out to find music.
Yeah.
Music was just kind of finding me through my friends, and that's what they were listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd be like, "Here, there's a System of Down like thing. Listen to this. Listen to this Billy Talent. Listen to this Between the Bear and Me. Check out this what would be another band at that time? Backstreet Boys. Like who knows? Like
yeah,
that
whatever.
Was just the time of things. But I was too busy playing video games. There's a lot of music that I listen to is just like background music from video games. Mario, Star Fox, Ninja Turtles, like 007, like all the music from there. I'm like, this music's better than music than I listen to on the radio.
Oh, like a lot of it is.
That's literally what my thought was. So yeah. I started just like when people were ripping CDs and pirating like music that was out for the time.
I want the Tetris soundtrack.
Yeah, that's the soundtrack I'm looking for. I'm like, fucking Skies of Arcadia off of like GameCube. Give me those freaking battle musics. They were the freaking best. So I just that was the music I was listening to. They're like, and I didn't know what was coming out, so I really only got like a drip feed of stuff from friends when they would like lend me a CD or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to get my hands on a lot of Linkin Park stuff. I'm like, oh, music can actually be good. So they kind of just cracked it open. They're like, oh, you can have as you're saying, like these guys are doing a lot of different genres of music within their own, but structuring it the same. And I'm like, oh, there's a bit of hip hop in there. There's a bit of rock, a bit of, you got Chester screaming. Like this is cool. You get a such a variety out of it.
Yeah.
Like kind of similar to even like the Gorillaz. I still prefer video game music over regular mainstream music.
Yeah.
I think through my day, it just like as if you're in a video game, kind of just gets you in the mood to be productive. That's what I like to be. But definitely sometimes, especially with a lot of Linkin Park songs, they invoke a particular feeling that you're feeling that day. And it really brings it out. Like anger, a lot of times.
Yeah, like, we were watching, what was it, Road to Revolution? They released like a live album and had a DVD in it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when we were setting up the wall, I had it playing. And she was just like, we were talking about how, like, when she listens to Linkin Park, it kind of reminds her of a certain time in her life. And like, I don't know, I think people listen to to music for different reasons, and I think Linkin Park was at like a perfect time because they were also mainstream, but they weren't like. There's people that become mainstream just by doing their thing, and there's people that cater to what is hot, and that's how they become mainstream.
Yeah,
and Linkin Park kind of like shifted like so much for rock music, for hip hop. At least in my world, like they were like. I don't know, the beginning of a change in music and represent different things to different people. And that's what fucking good art is, I think, at the end of the day.
Friggin' great band.
Yes, very great band. Long live Linkin Park. I guess we'll end with this, sir. You want to grab one? You grab one.
Yeah, sure.
I'll grab one after. I don't know why I'm closing my eyes.
I mean...
All right.
Okay.
All right. What you got? You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Okay. When is it appropriate to stand up to someone? When is it better to just let it go?
Ooh. If it conflicts with your morals.
Hmm.
You know, that's what I feel. If it's just like... And that's also hard to say. It's like, because you see a lot of things happen in the world that, you know, you definitely don't agree with, but you just kind of continue living your life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sticking with what I originally said. That's a really tough question, actually.
I think it is.
That's, I'm going to be thinking about it later.
That's
tonight.
Hitting hard.
I didn't answer that right. Ah, have a better answer. I'll re-record my answer just sitting in here. Just fucking, I'll do it. All right. What about you?
Okay, so I was going to say it's really hard to say when something is wrong or right. Because that ties into kind of what you're saying with what you believe is morally right or wrong. This is also saying when is it better to let something go? Mm-hmm. But like the appropriate time, I think, is really based on the urgency of the situation. If I had to try and take morals out of the equation, or it's like a really hard question to answer. How much mental energy do you want to expend to address the problem? It is kind of the angle I want to spin on it, because if someone on the road throws a plastic bottle into the garbage instead of the recycling bin that is right next to it, how much mental energy are you going to spend to correct that wrong? Do you even consider it a wrong thing? Like you know, there's more...
That's decisions. Another question. It's like, well, how much better is recycling for the environment? It's
like, there's... Like, if... or, like, someone... Like... I had one of my parts jobs. There was this kid just a father and his kid coming in. The kid's like real small. Had to be 10, maybe. I don't know what age kids look like. But like, they, small, yeah, like at your hip.
All right.
Running around, being all wild, but the guy's trying to talk to me about suspension or something. And the kid's being loud. And the father looks agitated because he's trying to listen to what I'm telling him. And he turns around and I, like... If this bottle is that kid's head, he slapped that kid's head like a full 2 feet in one direction. Just, that kid was quiet after that. But was it appropriate at that time that I stand up to that person in some ways that that's wrong or something?
Mm.
Or do I just let that go? I let it go at that moment. Do I feel like it's my business? Should I have made it my business? It's almost like this question is turning into a different question.
Oh, a bunch of different questions.
Like, but it's like the thing with a recycling bottle or the thing with a kid getting abused right in front of me. Those are two very real situations.
Yes.
That have happened in my life. And I like, so, but how much mental energy am I going to put in to fighting those battles? For me, I'm gonna spend less mental energy.
Yeah.
I was like, because it's akin to politics, and I dislike politics.
I also believe in minding your own business.
Like, yeah, that's a big thing too.
You know,
it's like.
But at the same time, it's like for one instance, I saw this dude like he grabbed, and I assumed it was his girlfriend or something person. And he he had her like by the throat, like at this bus terminal, like when I used to live in Brampton.
Mm.
And like, I didn't like, it wasn't like I even thought about it. I just kind of like went over there and was like, yo, what, like, you know, and then a bunch of other people got around and they stopped and stuff. And it's like, in cases like that, like I'm not minding my business, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
but you felt it was appropriate to stand up. It was like,
yeah. And I honestly like, I can't really put my finger on what it was in that instance that I was... If someone was getting hurt or something, or like... The situation could also get worse. Maybe if the situation was just like, all right, this is what happened. Nothing else is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Versus, mm-hmm. like, this is just the beginning of what could be much worse down the road. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a very interesting
question. It's a hard one.
That's
a hard one.
All right, let's do an easier one.
Yeah.
What was the first concert you went to?
First concert? I wonder, was it... What the heck was my first concert? I think it must have been one of those... oh, God, what the heck was it called? It was going to see... Who the heck was headlining? That's how much I remember it. I honestly can't even remember the first one, so I guess I'll have to go with the second one. And the second one was... Most definitely, it was Video Games Live.
Okay.
That was super cool. The other one was like one of those... Like, there was a bunch of, like, punk rock bands and stuff. Probably Billy Talent was there. And maybe Rise Against... I can't fucking remember. It was, like, forever ago. But, yeah, Video Games Live was the next one. And that was great because it's like a symphony orchestra doing the music that I particularly love at that point in my life. And they had a second show, and that was... I went to that, too. It was freaking fantastic. But, Video Games Live. All
right.
They don't do it anymore, but it was really fantastic.
All right.
Your first concert is... What is it?
Mine was... I'm pretty sure it was... I want to say Green Day.
Hmm.
It's in Toronto. I almost want to... I also want to say, like, Blink was there.
Hmm.
This is like earlier in the Blink days, later in the Green Day days.
Mm.
Yeah. Can't remember where it was. For some reason, I want to say... No, I don't think they were. I was thinking Simple Plan, but I think Simple Plan was with Blink the last time I saw them, and I'm just confusing them. Yeah, I want to say Green Day and Blink.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know the... I feel like I don't know the landscape enough when I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you feel very comfortable at a concert? You just go to whatever, grab your beer, hit the mosh pit, like, grab a chair if there's any. Like, I feel like I don't know where to be when I'm at it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, should I
just... It varies. I move around a lot.
Like, should I stand near the bar? Am I going to hear the music well enough all the way up close? Do I want to get punched in the face? Maybe I do. Go in the mosh pit. Let's
Certain
go.
Certain songs like, make me like feel like, oh, I could take a punch in the face. Yeah. Certain songs, definitely.
I think I lost my shoe in one mosh pit.
The older I get, the more I'm like trying to find seats.
Yeah.
You know? And also the price for like floors now is just insane. Like,
yeah.
Man, I saw, this is like probably the best concert I ever went to. It was Mudvayne, Deftones, Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park, and Metallica.
Ooh.
The Summer Sanitarium Tour, bro.
Mm.
And, like, I was on the floor. I was GA, like, mosh pit.
Yeah, I paid,
like, $110 for, like, all of those bands, bro.
Yeah.
That are all, like, top-tier bands.
What?
Yeah, and now it's like, bro, you can't get Chili Peppers floor seats for, like, less than $500. You know what I mean?
It's nuts. It's
ridiculous.
I can't even go to see a band. I'm too broke to do that. No, I think... I think there was only maybe, like, I guess from the, been to some operas and symphony orchestras, so you're always sitting at those, but the really fun ones are where you are down on the floor, you're getting bumped around. I had a buddy who was able to get up on stage and thrown into the crowd. It was pretty good, but, like... Nowadays, yeah, if I'm trying to find a seat, I think I've just priced out of the market even at this point. You'd almost wish like your $15 to $25 to purchase the albums were justifiably enough that the ticket prices weren't so high. But
yeah,
those labels just want the money.
Yeah, man. It's fucked up. Like, for, like, 30 Seconds to Mars, Jared Leto's band, they made a documentary, first of all, exposing, like, the music industry and how they like just fuck artists over. And they're just very open about like, go download our music illegally because we don't make any money from record sales like at all. That's why they go on tour, you know, and shit. So like the music industry is a lot different than it used to be, man. And it's, I'm sure it comes with a little bit of age where I don't want to be in the mosh pit as much. But at the same time, if I could afford it, I would for sure be there.
Yeah.
I just can't justify spending, you know, that much money.
It's crazy. That's but, it's like a mortgage, like, or like, it's a couple tanks of gas, like, so I can get to work.
Bad.
I can't, like.
It's bad.
I can't afford it. But it's a damn good time when you can go.
Yeah, dude. I think we'll get out of here, though, bro.
For sure.
We'll get out of here. This is usually the part where I'm like, hey, tell him where to find you, but you're not on any social media.
You can't find me. Find him.
And that's all good. Mysterious. Yeah. If you haven't already, subscribe, like, and yeah, like always, this podcast is brought to you by Neon Light District. Hit them up. Use code PILLOWTALK to save 10%. And by The Great North Apparel. Hit them up. Use code PILLOWTALK to save 30%. Go get your tickets to the monthly show. Go get your tickets to Laughateria. If you're watching this when it first comes out, I am co-headlining Versus Comedy on Saturday. So get your tickets to that too. And I'll see you in 2 weeks, guys. Peace the fuck out.
Later.